Well, this is the first time that we've done the questions a little bit differently, as we mentioned on Sunday. Instead of Dave answering them just from the pulpit due to time, we're actually going to record them and upload them into the website differently. So Dave's had a chance to look over these, and I'll run through and ask the questions, and let Dave answer them.
Yes, we can.
So the first question that came up is there a difference between willful rebellion and being deceived? And how would you answer this question in regard to Adam and Eve?
First of all, I would answer yes, there is a difference between willful rebellion and being deceived. Adam and Eve, we know we're guilty of willful rebellion because God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they deliberately went and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they had clear instructions from God about that, that they shouldn't do that, and they did. Deception, I think, is a person who is acting sinfully without knowledge that they are doing wrong. And we have many examples in the Bible of people being deceived. However, people are still held responsible even for being deceived because God wants us to be wise and not to be deceived. Yeah. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. I mean, there's a number of verses that command us not to be deceived. God's given us truth in the Bible so that we will know truth, yeah, so we won't be deceived. And so, deception is where people are acting and doing wrong, perhaps unknowingly.
Yeah.
But they're still responsible for not, you know, to know the truth.
Yeah.
That's really what God wants us to know. In fact, the Bible says that because of sin, our understanding has been darkened, and that's why, again, people need to go back to the Word of God.
Definitely.
To understand what action they should take.
Great.
How God wants us to act.
Great.
An answer to that, you think?
Yeah. The next one then is, verse 16 says that because of one sin, condemnation has come upon all men. It then says that the gift has brought justification, which verse 18 states brings life for all men. Isn't this verse saying that righteousness that comes by faith is freely available to all who believe?
Oh, the answer is yes to that. I mean, the Bible promises that the gift of justification, which is we're emphasizing in this passage of Scripture, is being right with God and a right relationship with Him, that is freely and not just available, but it's freely given to all who believe.
Yeah.
And so that's the promise of Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So the key here is all who believe.
Mm-hmm.
We know that not all will believe because the Bible says there's going to be many people that will not enter the gates of heaven. And so the Bible tells us that on that great day of judgment, there are going to be people who perish because they have not believed.
Yeah.
So again, I think that's very clear. And the answer to that question is yes.
Great, great. Next question is, the many who died by the trespass at the beginning of verse 15 is all men, as in verse 12. At the end of verse 15, it says that the gift of God's grace overflows to the same many. Would you agree that the gift of salvation is then clearly available to every individual?
I think the answer to that has to be no, because the gift of salvation is not clearly available to every individual. It's available to all who hear the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel is the offer. Romans 10:14 asks that question, and you know, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? So the Bible teaches that people cannot be saved unless they hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And then we're told that not all those who hear will believe as well.
Definitely.
In fact, Jesus says that many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, did not we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will still say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Mm.
So I think there again, the answer is very clear that the gift of salvation is not clearly available to every individual. They've got to hear the gospel.
And that, in many ways, is a great driver for evangelism, isn't it?
It really
is.
What
Paul's saying in chapter
8. That's right. If people perish, it's because those of us who are followers of Jesus have not given our all to see the gospel go to the lost.
Yeah, that's a bit of a challenge.
It really is.
The next question then is, if we are born with original sin, what will happen to infants who die? Mm. There's a bit of debate on that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And you know, this is getting into speculation again so often, what's going to happen to people, and only God knows in one sense. But the fact is, what He's given us in Scripture, again, you know, the Bible says what God's revealed to us belongs to us and to our children.
Yeah.
And that question is not directly answered in Scripture. And we must remember that God is both a God of justice and a God of mercy. We see that in the Bible. Because Adam and Eve sinned as our representatives, and that's what we find there in Romans chapter 5, because they sinned as our representatives, along with us, all are deserving of God's judgment, infants included.
Yep.
We've all sinned in Adam. And
yep.
So judgment is, in a sense, deserving of all of us. But because God is a God of mercy, He decided to provide salvation.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great message of the Bible again, the gospel. Salvation from sin to an innumerable company of people. Again, that's what Revelation said. No man can count that. God alone knows the number.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the mercy of God there. And does He extend mercy to children who die in infancy? Now, that's the tough question. I think there's two strands of thought in the Scripture on this, and I would not personally be dogmatic about my position on this, but in the Old Testament, we see there were times when children of pagan nations were destroyed along with their parents. When Israel was given the land, they were told to wipe out everybody, you know, and that was part of God's judgment. And when God sometimes looks at humanity collectively or covenantally, the children are included in that. I think it was Achan and his household perished, because of
and
the
I
father's
think Korah and his household.
That's right, the same with Korah and his sons. And so we've got a number of examples like that in the Bible. God visits the punishment of sin upon the children to the third and fourth generation, says in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
It shows mercy to thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandments. So even there you see grace overflowing in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, God is still a just God and must punish sin. Now, how do you deal with this pastorally? I think that's the big issue. And here's perhaps from my years of experience what I think is probably the best way to deal with this. If a believer loses a child in infancy, I can tell them, I believe, in all good faith, that I believe that child is with the Lord.
Yes.
Because God is a covenant God. He extends mercies to families and, you know, and to children and children, to children's children and stuff. And so I think, again, His covenant extends that way, and God's mercy extends that way. David, you know, when he lost that child, the child that was born out of wedlock through Bathsheba, the first one, when Nathan came to, and basically had to point out his sin, David realized that the child was going to die then,
and
he said, I cannot bring that child back to me, but I will go to that child.
Yeah.
So I think that shows, there to me, that's one of the old indicators that David believes he would see that child again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, for me, that's why I can say to believers, I think you'll see your child in heaven.
It's an interesting one, because that child was a child that was born out of wedlock.
That's right, even out of sin.
Suffering for and died because of David's sin, so, and died because of that. Yet David said that child would be in heaven.
Yeah,
so
I think that, again, shows the confidence and the mercy of God towards believers.
Yeah.
I mean, God is a forgiving God to us. Now, what about an unbeliever losing a child in infancy? And I mean, I've had a few of those in my years of ministry, but not a lot. But I will not tell the parents that their child is in hell.
Yeah.
Because only God knows that. But I cannot give them a false assurance and say the child is in heaven. I don't know.
Yeah.
And because what I try to do is to stress that God's a merciful God and a gracious God. And I would fall back on what I just said about believers, that I do believe believers can have confidence of seeing their children again. And so what I try to do then is to use that as an opportunity of evangelism.
Sure.
The fact that these people themselves need to seek the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think if they sought the Lord and were to trust in Christ, that God would have been merciful to that child.
Yeah.
But again, that's getting to the area a bit of theorizing. You know, I don't have an exact Bible verse.
Yeah.
But I think that's to me that's a way to end it pastorally and being honest, not saying more than what the Scripture says or less than what it says.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to answer those questions.
Yeah. Well, I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Anybody want to follow up, they can catch me at church, hopefully.
The other thing is whenever you have questions as well, feel free to send them in. Send them in during the sermon, during the service, and if you think of them later, Sunday afternoon, you can send them in. Because I think we're going to try to do this a little bit
quickly. Yeah, this is actually a great idea, because sometimes, you know, maybe I feel later that I didn't answer a question properly too, or sometimes, because people want to ask their questions anonymously, they can then follow through too. If they're not happy with the answer I gave and want to have a rebuttal, so to speak, they can certainly do that. Yes, and send a question in, and we can have this kind of time and try to answer them.
Cool. Thanks for that, Dave.
No worries.
Great.